All right, this is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by Smart Local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
Who went in there?
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are the drive. And we are 16 days away from the NFL draft.
16.
That's it, dude.
Oh, I'm getting excited here.
Man, oh, man. And right now, with the Broncos.
Yeah.
And so many questions. What they should do and what they should do. How does that clash with what they will do? But it feels like all things are possible. Like, could you see Denver moving up into the top five? Yeah, there's a scenario.
Yeah.
Could you see Denver staying right there at 12? Drafting a quarterback, drafting a positional player, could you see him move back? I mean, it feels like it's wide open right now for the Broncos.
This is going to be the biggest decision Sean Payton has to do for his career as a Denver Broncos coach. As a Denver Broncos coach, right, and his legacy on the line, this decision right here is going to make it or break it. Truly, truly. I'm thinking about it right now, Zach. I'm like, man, nobody's truly talking about the Denver Broncos right now because we don't have anybody here.
No.
You need to have somebody here, and it starts with the quarterback. Think about if you get the quarterback that you want. Even if it's J.J. McCarthy because everybody's hyping it up, if someone like you loves J.J. McCarthy, great. And it's going to be big time. And if he has to move up to get him, it's going to bring so much excitement here. So much excitement because we finally have a quarterback that Sean thinks is going to be here for a very long time.
A franchise quarterback.
Franchise.
A potential organization changer. And that's what could be in front of us 16 days from now. Now, we did a little exercise here at the Fan after the coaxing of James Merrillat, editor at DenverSports.com, and you can go read this for yourself. He asked us what the Broncos will do and what they should do.
Yeah.
And for some of our guys, it's the same answer. For others, it's different. For you, you have the Broncos drafting Michael Penix Jr. either at number 12 or trading back for more capital and drafting Michael Penix Jr. regardless, whether 12 or later.
I do, Zach. I like Michael Penix Jr. I like what he brings to the table. I think that he fits Sean's offense when it comes to timing, rhythm. He can still move out the pocket, move around the pocket. And guess what? If it wasn't with his injuries and because of his injuries, he probably would be top five, a top five pick.
Yes.
All right? So it's like, okay, take away the injuries, and if he's going to be a top five pick and he's dropping to the 12th pick of the draft, that's a steal. That's a steal. But it's all about the injuries.
And we talked about this on Friday, and it's not a perfect analogy, but we were talking about another MPJ when the Denver Nuggets once upon a time were on the clock picking at 14, and a guy who would have went maybe number one, definitely in the top three, tumbled because of injury history to the 14th pick. And for the Nuggets, it was the perfect intersection of risk versus reward. Now, the Broncos are in a different position, and that's why it's not a perfect analogy by any stretch, because, oh, man.
Because MPJ isn't looked as a franchise player.
They already had that when they picked him.
Yeah, they already had it.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos have to get this right as a franchise player.
Yeah, but it's still one of those things. If you believe he was a top five quarterback and you could get him at 12 and the risk is more baked into the injury history as opposed to can this guy play or not, it could be an intersection where Denver says, you want to know what? There's value. We'll take the risk there.
The value, on top of that, Zach, you don't have to give up things. You don't have to give up PS2. Yes. You don't have to give up 2 first-round draft picks that you're going to need so that you can put players around whoever you pick as the quarterback position. In my case, MPJ, Michael Penix Jr. All right, you're going to need to add weapons around him. Well, you're going to need those picks. Okay, you're going to need PS2 to do well on the other side of the ball so that you can get the quarterback back on the field. Right? You still need cornerbacks. Cornerbacks are very important. That's why they get paid so much money, you know?
Of course, yeah.
But also, I understand where people want to get rid of MPJ at times or PS2 at times because we don't have that front seven that are just so dominant that it's forcing passes so that the corners can do their job.
Yeah.
I know that, but you still need them.
Corner's so important. It's one of the five most, I think, if you're going to like rank the five most important positions in football with quarterback being number one and running back being dead last.
I still haven't got on you about that, man. What's your infatuation with hating on the running back position? Because you sure do love when Javonte breaks those tackles. And you're like, man, look at those big legs rumble. And then you come back and you say how bad the running back position is and you don't need them.
Oh, gosh. One little comment. I got blood vessels bursting and fill. No, I'm mostly kidding. kidding aside, corners.
Well, I think it's number two.
After quarterback?
Yeah, it goes quarterback, corner. Zach, I mean, you're thinking, think about it. These receivers are 6'3", 6'4", running 4'4", 4'2s, right? They know the play already. And they're so technicians now with the routes and everything. And a cornerback's backpedaling. They're backpedaling. Right. They're having to run. They're having to stop. Now, I'm not saying they're the greatest tacklers. But they're having to guard these receivers that everything's tailored toward the offensive side of the ball.
I know.
You touch them.
I know.
They're crying. I know. Kind of like you.
Mm.
You know, mink, a little tender. That's what I think when they say, what's Zach by? Soft.
Oh,
you know
no.
Sherman? Yeah, he can poke right through that.
I would have edge rusher after quarterback.
Okay.
But it's right there. It's right there. And I don't think anyone wants to like wakes up and is like, let's trade Pat Surtain for the sake of trade. They just don't have a lot. Yeah. They just don't have a lot in the way of capital. And that could Pat Surtain could be a guy who cross-cancels Minnesota's advantage over Denver. Because Minnesota's got an advantage over Denver in that they have more immediate capital. Like, we can give you and your staff, you and your operation, two first-round draft picks right now. Denver can't do that. Mm-hmm. You can have one now, and you can have one later. Some of these coaches are like, I'm not doing picks down the road, so the next coach, after they fire me, can use those picks. Like, picks now. Pat Surtain, I think, represents something that can cross-cancel that. Remember that in math?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you cross-cancel. It just X's it out. You don't remember. You gotta look at you. He's like, uh-huh.
That's
I remember.
You. You're like, you cross-cancel with the fraction. Like, no, and damn well, you weren't even in class.
I was so bad at math. I was in the quote-unquote, they used to call slow math. They used to call applied math. I needed the extra application of everything. I was not good at math. But I remember the idea of cross-canceling. And like, so what's more valuable to a team like, I don't know, let's say the Cardinals. Is it two draft picks or is it a first-round draft pick and Pat Surtain?
Mm.
One of them, the mystery of whether that guy can play or not, it's out the window.
Yeah.
Now you got to take care of him financially down the road. But he's under team control for the next 2 years. You can still get a first-round pick for PS2. I'm convinced of that. But we'll see. I mean, look, I want the Broncos to draft a quarterback in the first round. Dude, if they draft Bo Nix, let's ride. They draft Michael Penix Jr., let's ride.
All right? We're bringing Let's Ride back
dude,
now, huh?
Dude, Bo Nix, if he's the next Broncos quarterback, he could do a hype video with the sunglasses inside. All right? And I'll be supporting it. What I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I just don't understand it. When we did this exercise and I'm seeing guys say, well, pick a football player at 12 and build a roster. That sounds good. It does. It sounds good. The Broncos need a lot of help. Trade back. Acquire more picks. Perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Broncos could use more picks too. What's the plan at the quarterback position? That's my question for those of like, don't draft a quarterback. Okay, fine. What's the plan at the quarterback position? Is it literally see what happens next year? That's not a plan.
Yeah.
Is it draft Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt in the third round and see? That's not a plan for a $5 billion organization.
Yeah.
I just want to know what is the plan. And I'm not saying drafting a quarterback in the first round is some foolproof plan either, but it feels like historically it just gives you a higher probability to get it right when you pick them in the first round.
Yeah.
And if you're against that, what's the plan at quarterback?
The plan is to get a quarterback. The plan is to bring in a quarterback from the draft that Sean thinks can be a franchise quarterback. Sean himself can't help himself, okay, in finding that quarterback that he can groom himself so that he could say, hey, look what I did. Mm. I helped Drew Brees out, and I just pretty much made a protege of Drew Brees and told you guys and showed you guys that I'm a guru with the quarterback position. So I think in Sean's head, no doubt, he is drafting a quarterback, and it's either going to be at 12 or he's moving up. And I like it where it's like, if you don't love somebody, don't go and just, you know, pick that guy just to pick him. You know, then you could kind of trade back to get more picks. But if you love somebody, like you said, Zach, and you think he's going to fall at 12, okay, cool. But if not, you're going to have to go up there and you're going to have to get him. And I think that's what Sean's going to do.
You think he's going to go up?
I think he's either going to go up or he'll stay the same. It just depends on who he likes. If it's Michael Penix Jr., I don't think he's going to have to go up to get him.
No.
He's going to be able to stay right
there. Yeah.
Pick Michael Penix Jr. If it's J.J. McCarthy, we all know he's going to have to move up, probably with the Arizona Cardinals. That's who's going to be able to talk with him.
Yep, so I
guarantee they're talking every single day. They're in there talking,
wine
and dining, sending them prizes and gifts to try to figure out how they can get that number four spot.
Well, here's you know I like J.J. McCarthy.
I know you like him.
There's a lot of discourse surrounding that. And shoot, I was listening to Dan Jacobs tear me down over the weekend on these airwaves. That I like
JJ. Saturday?
Saturday or Sunday, I forget. But he was crushing me. And I'm like, well, you know what you have to remember? You know who agrees with me? The NFL marketplace. Everyone's now in agreement that JJ's going top four. Why? Do you think they're trying to give ESPN viewers? There's things that NFL teams clearly like about JJ McCarthy. I don't think people are making it up or you're some like JJ McCarthy truther if you believe he can play.
For sure.
But here's what I'll say with that. And I think that when you talk about trading three first-round picks for a quarterback, it's scary. There's risk involved. You get it wrong, dude. To think that it could get worse is hard to imagine, but it can. But if Sean Payton believes that J.J. McCarthy is a franchise changer, or he believes that Drake May is going to be there and he's a franchise changer, whoever. And Sean Payton believes that that's the guy that can shift things for this organization. I think you have to ask yourself, what do you think the hit rate is for drafting a player in the first round? Just give me a number.
Let's go 35%. It's low for the first round.
It is, even for the first round.
It is. So I'm going to say 35%.
Half of the first round on average doesn't get a second contract with the team. Doesn't matter if you're Bradley Chubb or Noah Fant.
Mm.
You can pick at 5, 20. Just go look at the Bronco first round picks, Sylvester Williams, et cetera. So let's go with 35%. Let's even be more conservative and go 35 to 50% hit rate to give it even more.
So just half.
Yeah. What has more value? Three picks over the next 3 years, and one of them is a swap this year in exchange for going up and getting your quarterback. So take that and keep that in mind. So it's a swap from 12 to 4 and then two first-round draft picks next year and the year after. If you're telling me that those three picks have a hit rate of 35 to 50% three different times, and those are positional players, but you believe that that guy at number four is going to change the franchise, I know the risk involved, and it is scary. It is. But there's a risk the other way, too. And the assumption that all these first-rounders are going to work out is just, it's not true.
No, that's not. If that's the case, this would be the first year. Okay, that every single quarterback taken is going to be the greatest, and that is not happening.
It's not happening.
That's not happening.
So if you trust Sean Payton, and you're someone like, say, like our buddy Mike Evans in the morning, who's like, I always stand with Sean Payton, whatever, I stand with Sean Payton. You have to ask yourself, what has more value? Three picks over the next 3 years with a hit rate between 35 and 50%, or trusting Sean Payton to go up and get a guy that could change the franchise? Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. And
I think it's the same value then, because we don't know what these quarterbacks like. Just because Sean thinks so, it's still going to be a hit rate of 35 to 50%.
It could be.
So I guess it comes down to just rolling with the punches and just randomly picking and picking and choosing when you want to do it. Like, do you want to use everything for this quarterback and lose, or do you want to, you know, play it safe, try to use these draft picks later on and still lose? I guess it's like trying to figure out what's better off. I don't know. Somewhere down the line, Zach, with the J.J. McCarthy situation, it's just funny to me how one day everybody just woke up and they found out that this man is just the greatest quarterback. It feels like Zach Wilson all over again, man. Truly, right? We sit here and dissed on Michael Pierce Jr. because of one game is when everything started to happen.
I did not.
No, but
I'm on the injury history.
Yeah, but you're on the injury. But you've said that a while. You've said the injuries for a while though.
Yes,
even when he was playing.
Yes.
That's the first thing you said was you were always scared of his injury history. You know, but scary money don't make money.
Mm.
So you're probably not making no money right now. But for this J.J. McCarthy, it's like, dude, you guys, and you said it, you guys have dug so much to try to find the great in this young man. Like, that's what we're going off of. Because when I watched that game, the same exact game that everybody, you know, pooped on Michael Pierce Jr. was like, okay, what did J.J. McCarthy do so great? But hand the ball off to two great running backs, right? Made a couple decent passes, but overall, it was a boring competition when it came to the quarterback position, the quarterback battle. But then we wake up the next month or so, and now J.J. McCarthy is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Like, because when Jim Harbaugh said what he said, that's when things start heating up. I don't know, Zach. Like, if it is J.J. McCarthy and he's great, I'm going to be happy.
Because of course, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No matter who it is.
I'm just trying to figure out how everybody decided to jump on the same train.
And you're asking a super familiar question. And I'm not saying there's no merit to it. And I think what made J.J. McCarthy's draft process a little bit more difficult and a slower burn to building up to the brighter fire was that the stuff that he was asked to do at Michigan was so much less than what Michael Penix Jr. was asked to do, than Jane Daniels was asked to do, all these guys. He was asked to do the least. And it's like one of these things where it's like, you had to do the digging and to find out, okay, when was J.J. McCarthy asked to do the heavy lifting? Okay, so let's go back and look. So last 2 years on third down, what does it look like when J.J. McCarthy is asked to do? Oh, he's got the best completion percentage and the best quarterback rating on third downs of any quarterback in the last three drafts. We weren't thinking about that stuff during the football season because he didn't play in seven fourth quarters.
But also, you got to take the stats out, Zach. Like, just take the stats out when you're watching this thing because, like, stats lie to you.
They
just
can.
Like, you know what I mean?
They
like, you can be a running back, go for 1,000 yards, but truly, it's like, you padded your stats. Let's say Melvin. Melvin, try to get to 1,000 yards.
Tried hard.
Right? Tried hard.
Really hard.
Tried hard. Even if he got the 1,000 yards, it wasn't that 1,000 yards of like, okay, he dominated and got the 1,000.
Yeah, like impact.
It was like 17 games, you played enough, you had 50 yards a game, 1,000 yards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's not cute, right? Like, that's cute, but that's not what you want as a running back.
Right.
For the quarterback position, it's the same thing. Like, we're going off of stats of like what somebody did. I want to see for myself. And because, so you're telling me for these next quarterbacks, hey, the least you do, the better you're going to be.
No.
Now everybody's sitting here saying, oh.
No.
Oh, like he didn't do enough, but I know that if he would have done this more, his percentage would have been higher. That's kind of what you're saying with J.J. McCarthy because he did the least of certain things and now everybody's intrigued.
No, but it's the circumstance that he was a part of that allowed him to do less. It's not like willfully doing
less.
But
it helped him out.
Well, in this situation, it did. But do you think J.J. McCarthy didn't want to be more involved with throwing the football? Like, I don't think he's like, hey, hide me so I can get drafted.
I think that it's funny how someone like Jim Harbaugh didn't go to J.J. more than he could have, knowing that he's better than Caleb Williams, obviously, to Jim Harbaugh.
Well, if you could move the ball by running it, and you have the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line from not this past year, the previous year, and a lot of those guys came back, and
If you're Jim Harbaugh and you have Caleb Williams on your team, you're going to do the same thing you did with J.J. McCarthy?
That's a good question. It's a good question. And I think you'd ask to do more because Caleb Williams is more talented than J.J. McCarthy. That's why we've been talking about Caleb Williams going number one for two years now.
But that's the thing. But Jim Harbaugh went on there and said he should be the first quarterback taken off.
Everybody else did because once Jim said that, everybody started to go, oh my God,
J.J. McCarthy.
Doing that.
And then
NFL evaluators are not overdrafting J.J. because of what Jim said.
They're overdrafting him, though. Majority of these quarterbacks.
They may because he plays quarterback. You know, and we may, you're talking about
and I might be wrong. I mean, he might end up being the next Patrick Mahomes. Who knows?
No.
I'm just kind of going of like what I have seen from this kid this year.
It's fair.
And it's
fair.
Just like what I've seen, what everybody is out there saying is just like not correlating to me. And I'm not a scout. But I know that I've seen many of players that they have said before playing with me that they're going to be so good. And they got in the building, and I knew for a fact that they were going to suck butt.
Yeah.
I knew for a fact that they were not going to be that good just because of how their mentality was or just because of how they handled things. I was like, that's not going to be a good player like you guys thought you guys had in him.
I remember hearing Stink saying very similar stuff of like, they took this guy in the first round. I knew within the first week that this wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
And Phil, I like J.J. McCarthy. I don't know if it's going to work.
None of us do.
And we need to remind ourselves of that. Yep. Because I hear all the time, all day long, whether it's on this station, online, people talking conclusively about who people are going to be. You do this job long enough, you weigh in with opinions on enough quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, you're going to get humbled. And this idea that we know how it's going to go, we don't know. We don't know. That's why it takes a certain level of trust in the guy making a decision, the guy who said this.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree, we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
He called his shot. And the bill is due in 16 days.
The day before the draft, we're going to have to play that before we leave.
The bill is due.
Because I'm interested in seeing what he's thinking in his head at this time. Who are you thinking of? Who were you thinking of?
We'll see. We'll see. All right, what does the heavyweight champion of the boxing world have to do with the Denver Broncos? It's coming up next. What does the heavyweight champion of the boxing world have to do with the Denver Broncos? The topic that we're about to bring up isn't new because we've been talking about it for the last month or two, but our friend James Merrillat put a fresh coat of paint on it on denversports.com, and I will tell you, as someone who loves a good tease or something repackaged in a new creative way, and James is with us here in studio, your opening line hooked me right away. When you said, hey, I'm paraphrasing, you're like, trivia question on a Monday. Who's the heavyweight champion of the boxing world?
Mm.
That's how the article starts. And I'm like, holy crap. I fancy myself as someone who kind of dabbles here and there with boxing and knew Tyson Fury was a champ. I didn't know the names of the two other guys.
No.
And no clue.
No clue. You could have paid me $1 million and said, produce one of the other two names, I would have went home with the same amount of money I have right now.
You could have spotted me the first name of the other guys. I still couldn't have got it. And, you know, you can go through the last 25 years, and there are way more names that you wouldn't know if they were a heavyweight champ at one point or a guy walking down 16th Street Mall. Whereas if you go back from 1975 to 2000, almost every name is a household name.
Yes. Correct.
It's Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson, Leon Spinks, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, guys that right now we still all can remember and picture in our mind.
Holyfield, Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So the point was, if you'd have gone up to somebody in 1975, back then the heavyweight champion of the world was arguably the most famous person in the world.
Correct.
Muhammad Ali couldn't walk anywhere, couldn't walk down the streets of any city in almost any country.
Yeah.
And not be recognized.
That's wild.
Now, the heavyweight champion of the world could walk through Times Square and people be like, well, that's a big guy, but they'd have no idea who he was.
I would
like,
not know.
We wouldn't know.
Fury maybe, but everybody else,
yeah.
The point of it was, at one point, boxing was king. And in 1975, if you just said, hey, 50 years from now, nobody's going to know who the heavyweight champion of the world is, they'd have thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Similar concept here with if you told somebody, hey, the Broncos aren't going to be the big dog in Denver at pick a date down the road. Right now, people are like, what are you talking about? That can never happen. Things change, and if you don't take care of business, and boxing didn't take care of business, right? It turned into the alphabet soup of the WBO, the WBC, the
correct.
WBA, the IBF.
Correct.
They, you know,
spread out everything.
They didn't do what UFC does, where you have to fight the next contender and you have the matchups you want. I mean, you'd go years where you didn't see Pacquiao and whoever. Like
agents run that thing.
Yeah, it's so corrupt, and it just got to the point where people are like, you know what? I'm done dealing with this nonsense. Broncos have been 8 years without being in the playoffs, 7 years without having a winning season. With the dead cap the next couple of years, even if they get a young quarterback, that's probably going to hit a decade. More likely than not, they're going to go a decade without making the playoffs. If you don't give people some hope, if you don't give them something to talk about, if you don't give them something to latch on to, they will move on to something else. This team is bad, they're boring, and they're faceless. Other than Pat Surtain, whose jersey would be a good investment at the team store?
And this is the question that I ask, because I have a son, and we're bringing him. This is the first year I'm bringing him all the games, and we're getting. He's got a Jokic jersey. He's got a Avs jersey. And I said, you know, he's got a Josh Allen jersey because he likes the Bills and the Broncos. But I'm like, if I'm at the team store right now, do I spend $75, $90 on PS2 when I don't even know if he's going to be on the team in a month?
And he's the best investment,
correct?
And he may not be here in a month. Like,
you're better.
Who else would you?
Probably somebody older. You're trying to get a Peyton Manning jersey.
Yes, correct.
You know, doing something like that
because
truly, I was thinking the same thing. It's like, if my son, because he's growing up, he's not going to grow up saying, oh, dad plays. He's growing up now watching whoever's going to be out there playing and want to be a fan of them. That was just like Peyton. I remember my rookie year. Peyton was like, look, my son was your biggest fan. And I'm sitting there like,
Peyton Manning said that?
Yeah.
That's so cool,
man. I'm like,
yo,
that's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Your dad is Peyton Manning. But in that little kid's head, he didn't watch his dad.
Right.
Right? His dad was done. He's watching who's out there right now.
Yeah.
I don't know who it'd be.
You don't. And, you know, I grew up during the Elway era. And during that time, during the 4 years of Manning, they were the most famous people in the state of Colorado. Mm. Today, they might still be the two most famous people in the state of Colorado.
Yeah.
If Jarrett Stidham walked in here and sat down where any of us are sitting, we would probably figure out who it was, but we might not be 100% sure. If Peyton Manning came in here and sat where Will's sitting,
oh, stop.
We don't know Peyton Manning walked in, right?
By his voice, by the head.
I'll do you one better. I think Pat Surtain can walk from one end of Park Meadows to the other and not get hounded.
I would agree.
I think people would recognize him, but Von Miller can't make it from one side of Park Meadows to the other.
Yeah. So they're starless, right? So there's nothing to latch on to. You can be the no-name defense of the Miami Dolphins if you're winning Super Bowls, but if you're not winning, if you're not a high-scoring team, if you're losing 35-31, people are tuning in because it's still kind of fun. It stinks to lose, but at least it's entertaining. And then there's no names or stars or anybody to latch on to. Like, what is there right now to build fan affinity with my kids, with your guys' kids? There's nothing. It's why I have a household where I got a Eagles fan, I got a Seahawks fan, and I got a Bengals fan.
That's wild. In the Maryland household.
Right. And now you got a Steelers fan.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't.
That chill of the trophy.
Oh, no. Not on a Monday.
But, I mean, it's like, okay, well, part of me feels like, geez, what a bad dad. But, like, when we're all sitting around at their grandma and grandpa's on a Sunday watching the game, they want to go watch the TV upstairs. It's got red zone, so they can watch their fantasy or other things.
Yeah.
And then they want to go outside and play football. Yeah. They don't want to sit and watch 3 hours of Jarrett Stidham against the Chargers. And how am I going to force them to do that? There's other options nowadays, which goes back to the boxing analogy. There are other entertainment options.
Yeah.
It's not like when I was a kid where, man, you had to get up and go click the channel from Channel 4 if you wanted to get off the Broncos game.
Right.
You were watching it no matter what. That ain't the case anymore.
And we talked about this with Jake Shapiro from DenverSports.com earlier in the show as well. We just saw him in the hallway and pulled him in here and said the same thing about baseball. Baseball used to be king. To think that if you said 70 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, that baseball would not be a top two favorite sport in America these days, who won the Kentucky Derby last year?
I don't know.
Horse racing used to be king along with boxing in this country. And names like Gallant Fox or Secretary, they were the stars. And it doesn't work like that anymore.
Something else will get your attention, right? And it could be something else in the sports world. Because 5 years ago, if you'd have said 18 million people are going to watch the Women's National Championship game.
2 years ago, if you said that, dude.
Everybody would have been like, they'd have laughed you out of the room.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it or watching it yesterday. Then I had to leave to go coach flag football. And I'm listening to it on the radio, going to the field to make sure I caught the end of it.
Yes.
Because it's compelling. Right? There are stars. There's interesting storylines of undefeated versus the team that beat them last year and the Caitlin Clark thing and all the rest of it. Something else will come along that will be more entertaining. And if you don't think your product has to be good and has to be compelling, you're going to go out of business and be looking at it saying, how the hell did we turn into Blockbuster Video? That's what's going to happen.
And I'll tell you what right now, Who's coming back to play quarterback for the Jets this year? Aaron Rodgers. The Jets make the playoffs. The Broncos are alone with the longest playoff drought in NFL football.
And they're, to make my point clear here, I'm not saying they're going out of business.
I know you're not.
But I'm saying something else is going to take their spot in terms of what is the unofficial religion here in this state. It'll be something else. And it may not be another team. It could be who knows what. It's
Who
knows?
I didn't think about it. It's not like, oh, growing up, I was excited for the Denver Broncos. And like, what's going to happen? When are they coming? When, like, what's going to – I know who's on the team. I know Vaughn's on the team. Of course, Peyton's there. Like – and now, after going through so many quarterbacks and nobody being there anymore that they have drafted in the past, nobody's pretty much there. We don't know anybody on the team. Okay, therefore, you can't get excited about this. They don't have a franchise quarterback. And if they don't draft a franchise quarterback or draft that quarterback to get everybody excited, it's just going to be another year where it's like, you know, the Denver Broncos.
And here's another one. Ask men's college basketball how they're doing. National title game tonight against two teams who have won a lot here in recent memory. No Cinderellas, two number ones. How many American sports fans can name you three players tonight?
Very few.
This brings up the question from 16 days from now. And I want to head there coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right, it's the Drive's Top 5 of the night brought to you by High Five Plumbing. We have two of our buddies who were here hanging out at work, and we pulled them in. It's James Merrillat. It's Will Peterson. We were going to talk about the James article anyway. It made so much sense. But I am curious because you guys on the website, and we'll do what we're watching for here in just a minute, but it was funny. Not funny. It was curious to me looking at the responses that our hosts here gave at the station of what the Broncos will do versus what they should do. And the amount of number of our guys that said, well, just pick a football player and either draft a quarterback later. And I'm asking the question, like, if that's the approach, what is the plan at quarterback? Will Peterson, if you want them to take a positional player, fine, no problem. What's the plan at quarterback?
Yeah, I was just as stunned as you reading some of those answers, because both my answers were trade up and get your franchise QB. So the fact that there are hosts who think, just take a stud football player at 12, that's not fixing anything, stud football player at 12.
Wait, are we talking about the roster building, guys?
Yes.
It needs to
the
start
roster builders?
With Q and end with B, unless it's Brock Bowers. He is the only exception, the only exception at 12.
To me, I think Bo Nix at 12 is a reach. I think you're going to regret that. I think trading up and mortgaging the future to take J.J. McCarthy is a mistake. If it was 2 months ago and he fell to 12, fine. But giving away two more first-round picks, I think, like, man, at some point you can't trade all that away. To me, the only thing that justifies taking somebody at 12 other than a quarterback is if your plan is to get wherever you need to get Michael Penix Jr. Is that the end of the first round? Is that early second round? I don't know. But if they came out of the first 2 days and they had Brock Bowers and Michael Penix Jr., sign me up. It'll be fun on the hill at training camp.
Solid.
But you have to come out of here with a quarterback that is the plan.
At least more that's more of a reasonable plan. And it's a little bit more defined. Let's go with the Brock Bowers. I love Brock Bowers. Broncos take him at 12. I'll find a way to get excited about that. Now, what's the plan at quarterback?
I think I'm with James. It's Michael Penix Jr. at the start of round two.
But you don't have a second round pick.
I know, but here's how you get there. This dude had 10 touchdowns last year, tied fourth in the NFL. And I'm not asking for Sutton for a second. I get it. But what about Sutton in a third for a second? So I use him to move up around and give up my third round pick and then take Michael Penix Jr. People think, oh, you can just trade Sutton for a two. Not after what Stephon Diggs got traded for.
No way. You're not getting a second round pick for Cortland Sutton.
But can you use Sutton in a third to move up around? Yeah. I think for a guy who caught 10 touchdowns last year, there's someone at the top of the second who might do business with you.
All right. Interesting, fun conversation. Let's go over what we're watching for tonight. Could be anything. Mr. Philip Lindsay, we'll start with you.
I think we all are going to be watching this national championship. So after that's all done, I'm going to sit back with my wife and we watch American Idol. And every year we draft, right? We pick names and we get to pick. It's the top 24 and we all get to pick two people, a woman and a girl. And
a woman and a girl?
A woman and a man, my bad.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, just try to help.
Oh, yeah. But, and whoever can get the furthest gets the win, and we bet $100.
If you were going to sing on American Idol, what would be your song?
Oh, man, that's a good question. There's a lot of them. I like Adele.
You do?
I do like Adele.
I did not have that on the bingo card.
Yes.
What Adele song would it be?
I right now, I like the Love in the Dark. You can't love me in the dark.
Okay.
So I like that one, yeah.
She wants the lights on.
Yeah, I guess.
I thought it was the other way around.
I like it. You can sing Adele for us tomorrow at 2 o'clock sharp. Will Peterson, what are you looking for tonight in the drives? Top five of the night brought to you by High Five Plumbing.
There's actually a sneaky big start down at Coors Field tonight. And that's Kyle Freeland, guys. I mean, he has gotten shelled in his first two outings. Yeah. He was so bad in his second outing, and his ERA still went down 13 points.
That's so crazy.
That's how bad his first outing was. Feels like we're teetering with Kyle. You know, I'm not going to make any rash decisions in April, man, but you can't trot a guy out there who can't get through three innings time after time after time again. Could he go to AAA? I don't know. Could this be a fork in the road for his career? I don't know. It's absolutely imperative he has a bounce back tonight, because if you look up in the third inning, it's 10-1.
Dude.
I don't know what the Rockies do with Kyle Freeland.
The two highest paid Rockies, that's a good one, Will. Two highest paid Rockies, Chris Bryant, in the first 10 games, has already been given a day off and has missed the game due to back tightness and has gotten booed twice by the hometown fans. And the other highest paid guy is Kyle Freeland, who's got an ERA that looks like a phone number. Problems. James, what are you looking for tonight?
Well, national title game, and to me, a couple of things are interesting about it. Purdue's trying to do what Virginia did, 4 years ago?
Correct.
You lose to a 16, and then the next year, you get redemption and win the title. That's kind of a quirky, fun story. And then UConn's just so darn good. And last I looked, I think they were a 6.5-point favorite. They win every game by double digits.
I know.
So, not telling you what to do, but I know what I'm doing. So, I will be rooting for that. That will be interesting. And then beyond that, man, it is scrolling through Netflix and seeing what in the heck there is that I haven't watched yet. That's what tonight becomes. It's not a single NBA game. They get to the college game tonight, which I think is a nice gesture.
I think so, too.
There's two NHL games, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Will made a compelling case. It ain't getting me to tune in on what's going on down at Coors Field tonight. It's just not.
Kamaje Grandison behind the glass. What do you got?
I'm going to keep my eye on what's going on with Kentucky. I'm going to see which coach they're going to hire so they can lie to us and convince us that there's some magical blue blood that they're not anymore. They're full of it, okay? John Calipari left for a reason. The AD just needs to accept his fate and quit, okay? Kentucky's not a blue blood anymore. And so I'm going to keep my eyes to see who's the next coach that want to try to bring this program back to prominence. Who cares? Kentucky doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, wow. I don't know if you could just wash off that blue blood. Just wash it off like a stain. Man.
You sure can. Get the pressure washer.
Drew, real quick, what do you got for tonight?
Watching hockey tonight. James mentioned we got a big one tonight in the Western Conference. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Vancouver Canucks. Two possible opponents for the Colorado Avalanche in the conference finals if they get there.
I love it. I'll be watching the national championship game start to finish. And I think this is going to be a lower scoring affair. The public is betting the over, and professional money is pouring in on the under. And I love betting the under in college championship games with kids who get tight, a little more conservative. Transition three? No. The repercussions on that. Let's back it out. Let's run something. That's what I'll be looking forward to tonight. And if UConn pulls this off, and I think it's going to be tighter than you think, James, man, they go down as one of the all-time great teams and one of the all-time most dominant runs that we have ever seen. They have covered every single spread for two tournaments in a row. There's no precedent for that.
First back-to-back since the Gators?
Since the Gators, yep. All right, we'll leave it there for now. We have pregame coverage of the national championship. Get home safe, everyone. Thanks for making us a small part of your Monday. The Natty pregame coming up next.